wisconsinlight.com or 734-788-7073.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today, something about the trees of Lent, the palm tree, the fig tree, and the olive tree, plus a story about the legend of the dogwood tree. Stay with us for today's Holy Week Story from the Heart. To someone with a little imagination, reading the New Testament is sometimes like taking a walk through the woods, because in the rustling pages you hear the stirring of the leaves of many noteworthy trees. No wonder that we commemorate our Lord's birth at Christmas with an evergreen tree, and recall his death with the dead brown tree of the cross, because in the 30-odd years in between, so many of the episodes in the life of Christ and so many utterances from his lips were made under or around some special tree. Father Joseph Manton wrote about trees of joy and trees of sorrow in the life of our Lord. This is what he wrote about the trees of Holy Week. One thing from which even the good Lord turns his face is hypocrisy, as he hinted in the episode of the fig tree. There it stood, proud, flaunting its rich foliage that swished together in the breeze like the clashing of soft cymbals. The time was Monday morning of the first Holy Week, and Jesus was trudging towards Jerusalem, where he knew he would encounter his enemies. He needed food. He approached this promising fig tree at the side of the road, parted its branches, and reached up to take some fruit. But there was none. The inviting tree was only a pretender. So the Savior solemnly cursed it, and to the amazement of the 12, who were trailing at his side, the tree immediately withered. Every leaf shriveled into a crackling brown curl. Now God does not erupt in vain and pointless anger. When our Lord cursed the masquerading fig tree, he wanted it to stand out forever in the memory of man as a silent sermon on any life which is outwardly respectable and even pretentious, but is inwardly barren of any true spiritual fruit. How long has the good Lord been patient with some of us in this matter? Have we ever really produced anything more than the appearance of Christianity? How rarely we have actually met the test in some neighbor's critical need and borne practical fruit? Or was it that we did not care a fig? It is quite possible, too, for a man to show a glittering facade of church-going religion and at the same time have a soul that looks, well, like a moral junkyard. The man who truly struggles to be good and to do good, that is altogether different. God gazes down lovingly on a tempted heart because it is like a tree lashed by a storm, swaying and groaning, but still struggling, still standing. But the soul that merely pretends, because it is like a tree trunk that inside is hollow and rotten and dead, upon such a soul God looks down sternly. On Monday, our Savior had encountered the fig tree. On Sunday, the very day before, he had his disillusioning experience with the palm tree. Into Jerusalem, Jesus came, mounted on a donkey colt, riding between the lines of palm trees and the lines of people who had gathered to shout their warm welcome. This was the Messiah entering the holy city, and the crowd became so enthusiastic that they ripped off the ribbon-like branches and strewed them before him in homage, while they startled the quiet air with their exploding hosannas. The very next day, he was overturning the tables of the money changers, flinging their profane furniture down the front steps of the temple. Immediately, the attitude toward him changed. The plots were hatched. how soon Christ discovered, as many after him also would, that the palm trees of popularity rarely line the straight path of duty. In hard things, on the street of unpleasant principle, in loyalty to what is right, we must often walk alone. In church symbolism, the palm is a symbol for martyrs. And just 5 days after Palm Sunday, the very throats that had shouted, "Hosanna, welcome," were roaring, "Crucify him." Sunday, the palm trees. Monday, the fig trees. Now Thursday night of that week, the olive trees. At least here there was no pretense, as in the fig tree, and no fickleness, as in the palm trees. In the olive trees, there was only irony. For even in those days, men had set the olive branch apart as an emblem of peace. Remember Noah's dove returning to the ark with an olive branch? The irony came because as Jesus knelt in prayer beneath the buried branches of the olive trees of Gethsemane, he found himself surrounded by soldiers with drawn swords. He had just been through the agony of the bloody sweat, when every sinister shape out of hell had emptied its sack of sin upon him, foul deeds of drunken lust and savage murder and slander and scandal, perjury, blasphemy, and all the wicked rest. He shuddered under the load of a whole world's conscience, for which he must pay the awful price of atonement. When he looked up, he saw little gray leaves of the olive trees edged with silver by the paschal moon, and possibly remembers with a sigh the 30 pieces of silver for which Judas had sold him. There is Judas now, in the gleam of the swords and the glare of the torches. Treason under the trees, and a kiss. Not under the mistletoe, but under the olive tree, the traitor apostle gives Christ the ceremonial kiss of greeting, the kiss of death. Still, the trees followed the tragedy of the Savior. Jesus himself would hang on the gaunt, dead tree of the cross. When he saw his cross, the carpenter of Nazareth would have known its wood at a glance. How many kinds of wood he had worked with in his shop? Cedar, ash, pine. And these were the tools he knew so well. Hammer and nails, with which they were fastening him to this weird, unnatural tree, whose branches were splintery planks and whose roots were only rocks propped under a hastily dug hole. Well, it had all started with a tree, had it not? That tree of good and evil in the green garden of paradise. And now it was ending with the tree on the brown hill of Calvary. The tree of rebellion yielded to the tree of redemption. The fruit of the first was only the symbolic red apple of original sin. But the fruit of the latter was the blood-red body of God, universal salvation. Scripture indirectly refers to Mary, his mother, as a lone tree standing lovely in the plain, the one virgin mother. A poet sees her as a slender stalk that draws up our prayers to heaven. She could remind us that the crib of Christmas joy and the cross of Calvary suffering were both made from trees, and that happiness and sorrow are but opposite branches of the one tree of any man's life. We can share that joy and bear that sorrow as long as, like a tree, our roots are sunk deep in the will of God, and our boughs stretch out to help our neighbor, and our spiring top, our soul, strains up toward heaven, our everlasting goal.
From the cross, little headaches, little heartaches, little griefs of every day, little trials and vexations, how they throng around our way. One great cross, immense and heavy, so it seems to our weak will, might be borne with resignation, but these many small ones kill. Yet all life is formed of small things. Little leaves make up big trees. Many tiny drops of water blending make the mighty seas. So these many little burdens, pressing on our hearts so hard, all uniting form a life's work, meriting a great reward. Let us not then by impatience mar the beauty of the whole, but for love of Jesus bear all in the silence of our soul, asking Him for a grace sufficient to sustain us through each loss, and to treasure each small offering as a splinter from His cross.
Dogwood. Many years ago, a dogwood tree grew on a hill outside Jerusalem. In those days, the dogwood tree was as tall and mighty as an oak, and this tree was the tallest of all the dogwoods, and extremely proud of its strength. "Something wonderful is going to happen to me," it said to anybody who would listen. "I'll probably become the mast that holds a big sail on a grand ship, or the main timber supporting a great house." Unfortunately, a huge old dogwood was cut down to become the cross to which Jesus was nailed. The tree was horrified. All its dreams of glory were smashed, and it groaned in agony as two boards from its trunk were nailed together. Jesus took pity on the tree, even as He carried it to Calvary. "You will never be put to such use again," He told it. "From this day on, your shape will change, even as will the world. You will become slender and sway easily with the breeze. And instead of acorns, you will bear white flowers in the shape of a cross, with dark red blood stains on each side of each petal to show the world how you have suffered. Last of all, the center of your flowers will be marked as though with a crown of thorns, to remind people forevermore that you and I spent our last moments together." And so it was. And so it is.
Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Trees of Lent was written by Father Joseph Manton and published in the Ligorian magazine. Sorrow of the Dogwood Tree was read by Jack Regan. Splinter from the Cross, read by Terry Parks. Story from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through